I'd like for you to go to Romans, the 8th chapter. In this 8th chapter, some great things for us as children of God. First verse, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that is weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin, condemning sin in the flesh. I want to speak today on a thought of freedom. Are you glad you're free? Amen. I'm glad I'm free. I'm not in bondage to no man. God saved me, and I know I'm saved. I save not in sin, but from sin, out of sin. God took me from what I was and brought me to the grace of God and helped me to be what I am today. And I could never thank God for all that he has done for me and is doing for me, and for his Holy Spirit that helps us to be what we are. Thank the Lord for his grace. I could never tell you altogether how it is. You just have to come acquainted with God to find out really what it is. But in this salvation and in being free from yourself and from the bondage of sin, you will experience an experience that only you know how wonderful it is to have the freedom of the Lord. There's a bondage in sin. There is a bad conscience in sin. There is that which puts great condemnation upon the character of the soul. But thank God, when Jesus reaches down and pulls us from that mari plutation that polluted our soul, corrupt us, defiled us, lifted us up, and set us free, how good it is to know that freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was talking in to the Galatians in the 4th chapter of the book of Galatians, and in the 6th verse he said, and because you're sons of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son in your heart, crying, Abba, Father, which is to say Jesus, the Spirit of God. Now there's a freedom whenever that Spirit moves within us. Oh, what a freedom there is when you feel the freedom of God. Thank the Lord for that great freedom of the Lord. For that Spirit, a Spirit that you hadn't felt before, you'd never been acquainted with, but whenever that Spirit comes in, he moves in your beings, he moves in your infirmities, and things that you thought you could never do, God will carry you beyond yourself and help you in a way that you thought you could never be helped. You see, I was backwards, bashful, wouldn't hardly sit at a table when others were sitting at a table and taking a meal. But whenever Jesus put his Holy Spirit within me, quickened me, brought me to a new life in him, and took me beyond myself, I experienced a freedom from the bondage that had a hold of me. And I'm sure if I ask you to testify today that are saved and been brought from that kind of bondage, you'd say, "Preacher, I thank God today that I have found a liberty and a freedom in Jesus Christ." Praise the Lord. In Luke, the 4th chapter and the 18th verse, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, removing of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." This is Jesus when he went into the temple with the Jews, and they gave him a book, and he turned and read this scripture unto them. He let them know that the Spirit of God, the Father, was upon him, and he came here to preach the gospel. You know what the gospel is? Good news. Good news. It's good news that there's someone that can help us and do for us what nobody else can do. You see, mom couldn't help, dad can't help what God can do. But God can help us and go beyond our immediate family and help us in a way that we really need help. Whenever you feel that bondage and you feel that you need help, and you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and what Jesus come to do, and realize he come to do that for me as well as everybody else. He hadn't left me out. Here I am, Lord, and you said you'd help me, and he helped me, praise God, and I accepted that good news, and God brought me out of captivity and set my soul free. That's what God does. That's what he does. That's gospel. That's salvation. Well, Jesus, those that were in bondage, when he came here and preached this gospel to the poor, those that were really stricken in life and seemingly that no one would care, no one, no way to turn, but God cared, and Jesus had noticed him, and he helped them, and he blessed them, and delivered them out of that state, and brought them to the riches of God. You see, there's no one that know the great treasure that God has in store for the soul of mankind until he's lifted out of his poor condition, out of sin's condition, that's took him down farther than he wanted to go and kept him longer than he wanted to go. But here comes Jesus and noticed he's poor and helpless and nobody could help him, but Jesus reached out and brought him up and put a treasure in his soul and made a rich person out of him in the spirit and the blessings of God. That's freedom. That's freedom. Well, yes, that's freedom. Thank God a heavenly treasure will make you rich. Oh, yes, it'll make you rich. And so he didn't only do that, but Jesus knew there was some people that needed freedom from sickness. They had diseases when he came here, all kinds of diseases. You read Matthew 4:23, and you'll find all kinds of diseases. Hell, holding people in bondage, people on their bed, people that couldn't help themselves, people that had plagues, couldn't do anything, and the doctor couldn't help them. And so medicine wasn't doing any good. But Jesus came, thank God. And when he came, he had the anointing of the Father upon him. And he came here to set people free. And so they brought their sick and the lame and the blind and all kinds of diseases. And Jesus touched them, rebuked their diseases, and told the devil to get out. And he run the devil off, and he set the captive free. And brother, they went home rejoicing in the Lord, because they found a man that had set them free from their captivity. I don't know what it might be to have to be carried everywhere I go. I don't know what it'd be to be real lame. I don't know what it'd be to be blind and couldn't see. I've dealt with blind people. Those that read Braille. And I've seen them do things. And it's marvelous. But whenever Jesus came, he opened blinded eyes. He lifted them that were in that captivity. And he said, you can see, praise God. And when he touched them, they said, I see. Brother, he brought them to freedom from what they were in. Well, thank God, what it means to be free. Free from things, free from bondage, and have a good life in Jesus Christ. Folks, he's here. He came to help you. He came to help me. And he has no respect of person. He'll lift us out of bondage and set us free. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. Not only did he do that, he delivered them and set them, the blind man at liberty. Those that were abused, those that are abused. You see, there's people, whenever they've been abused so much, they feel so bad. They hate to look up. They hate to face anybody in life. They just somehow, abuse puts people down, bruises, until they are backwards and they don't want to step out to the front and be fronted anymore. I've seen people that way, that has just been scolded and put down and talked about and called a dummy and just run down in a way that they felt like I'm nothing. But Jesus came along. Thank God when he gets in, it don't matter what people's got to say nor what they think. They know they've been brought from somewhere to somewhere. They know, praise God, I am somebody because Jesus made me, and he has forgiven, and he has brought me to a freedom that I never knew before. That's the Son of God. Oh yes, that's the Son of God. That's just what he'll do for us. He will help us, and he'll bring us to that place, to where we need to be. John was talking to people, and he said, ye shall know, in St. John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You don't know how fortunate you are. You just don't know altogether how free you are, because you know truth. There's people in bondage today. Great bondage. False religion has got them in bondage, in captivity. And brother, they're under chains and they're tied in that bondage. And a lot of people in there have maybe an honest spirit, want to be free. The only way they'll ever be free is know the truth about God. Know the truth. What truth does, it enlightens us against falsehood. It enlightens us against what's wrong. It helps us to see what is right. And it'll lead us in the path of what's right. Well, thank God for truth. The old king that tried King Jesus, he asked him, what is truth? Before Christ could answer him, he got up and went out. You see, truth will put us with the identity of God. It'll put us with the Word of God. It'll put us on the ground with God. It'll put us in his wholeness and in his righteousness. And thank God it'll make us free from all bondage if we'll follow the truth. Every person should want the blueprint and follow the blueprint and know the great truth of Jesus Christ. There's nothing like truth. Nothing like truth. Well, the freedom that truth brings. I hear people talk about their religion, what they had to do to get into it. And I hear people talk, I had to go through this ritual, that ritual. Well, what I had to go through with is just bow to the Lord and say, God, forgive me. I surrender all. And when I surrendered all, the Lord moved in and all bondage was gone. And I was in a family, and brother, the truth delivered me, and the truth delivers others today. And how wonderful it is for people as you and I to know the truth of God and to enjoy this great truth of God. Oh, thank God for truth. Paul preached the truth where he went, and he wanted people to understand the great truths of God. Thank God for old Paul. When God saw him as Saul, down in the rust, persecuting, wasting the church of God, a diamond in the rust, God shined a light from heaven, broke all his bondage, lifted him out, set him on a highway of wholeness. He said he's walking and preaching this great truth of God. Paul into the Romans in the 5th chapter and the 12th verse. 12th verse. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is is not imputed when there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned. After the similitude of Adam, transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now, if these scriptures seem hard for you to understand, let me just give you something to think on that'll help you. Whenever God created us, he created us free moral agents of power, choose, and choice. He did that back in the garden. Because Adam sinned, others didn't have to sin. Sin entered the world, and sin was out there in the world. But for them to sin, they had to sin in the same similitude that Adam sinned. Adam wasn't deceived, his wife was deceived. And Adam knew the commandment of God. And so, whenever Jesus came, you see, salvation is here today. But you may not have it, and you won't have it until you commit yourself and bring yourself to the place that you're willing to surrender to God and give it all to him. That's how this plan works. And what Paul wanted the people to know, that there is a Savior that went deeper and go deeper than all the sin that's in the world and around the world, that God reaches down and he saves to the uttermost, and he delivers those that's in captivity, and you're free to exercise and to call upon the Lord for forgiveness and to be set free from your bondage. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? You see, the law was added 430 years. But it could not disannul what God had preached to Abraham. And so, through the descendants of those seed, God kept his promise. And his son came here to save and to redeem. Hebrews 7:25 said, God is able to save to the uttermost. The old bootlegger, when God gets after him, he'll give up his steel. Whenever the murderer, God gets after him, he'll quit being bloodthirsty. Whenever God gets after those that roll their dice, drink their liquor, when God gets after them, they'll get rid of it. I want you to know, this God can shorten the bed. He can gnaw the cover. He can send the water over the hiding place. And brother, when God gets out of your soul, he loves you. He cares about you. He's calling on you. Throw up your hands. Give it up. I'll bring you out of bondage. I'll save you. I'll go deeper than the sin has ever stained you. I'll bring you in to the kingdom of God. I'll set you in the body of Jesus Christ. I'll fill you with the righteousness of God. I'll bring wholeness to your life. I'll cause you to walk and talk and sing a song of grace that you never sang before. But thank God, I will set you free. That's what our world needs today. You don't need the whiskey bottle. You don't need the dance hall. No, no, no. Them things put a mark on your life. But what you need is that which makes you free from all bondage. and let you live a life that's full and free and bring the happiness of God to you and cause your heart to sing like you've never sang before. And so Paul then asked his question. He said, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You see, God brought us into a place that He got us out of bondage. We don't want to sin. We have no part with sin. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We've been separated and we've been washed and cleaned up. God took us out of the plutation. We're not like the old sow that went back to the watering hole after she was cleaned up. Thank God, when Jesus moved in, He washed you from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. He put the right spirit within you, and you look back and say, thank you, Lord, that old man's dead and all his deeds is dead and he's not living anymore, but God filled this house and this is God's house and I'm free and I'm enjoying the Lord. That's how I feel. Well, preacher, what makes you preach? Nothing makes me preach but just what that preacher man doing on the inside. Amen. See him free. I could say no to him, but it's so good, I don't want to say no. I want to say more and more and more, Lord. Give me more. Why? This is freedom. This is joy. This is better than anything that I've ever found in my life. Oh, how great it is to be free and to enjoy a life free from sin. I hear people say, I sin. I have to sin. I ain't never found in a book where you have to sin. You don't have to sin. Well, I've heard people say the devil made me do it. No, you let him do it. Amen? If you let him, he'll jump all over you. But if you stick your tongue out at him and say, you old scutter, get gone. I put Jesus on you. He ain't gonna hang around. Amen? You see, you come knocking at the door. But just reach back and get the keeper of the house and let him know that the keeper of the house will answer him. And that keeper of the house is King Jesus. And when he steps up, brother, he'll flee, assured you who you are. He set you free and he wants you to stay free. Yes, he does. So back over in Romans, the 8th chapter and the 3rd verse. For what the law could not do, and that is weak through the flesh, God sending his own son, likeness of sinful flesh, condemning sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Thank the Lord. You see, we quit ourselves. We quit the law that was wrong. There's a law of spirit and a law of life. That's what we follow. That law that set us free and brought us to the freedom of God. What the law couldn't do, it was weak. You could offer the calves. You could offer the doves, all kinds of offering, but the old conscience still was sin, sin in the conscience. But when Jesus came, he went farther than the law. Yeah, he went farther than the law. You see, he went down on the inside. He took your conscience. He washed your conscience. And when God washed your conscience, there should be no more a sin in your conscience. Your conscience is free, praise God. I know the devil will come back at you and bring up the sins of the past and point them out to you. But remember, it ain't what you were yesterday. It's what you are right now. That's yesterday. That's behind you. It's what grace has done for you today, praise God. And I'm thankful that God has stood me here today, free man, owing nobody but to love God with all my heart, my soul, and my mind. And that's a freedom of God. That's the kind of life that he wants to give everybody. Freedom, freedom in the Lord. Amen. Thank God. I was preaching down in Etowah, Tennessee, a few weeks ago, and the great Spirit of God was really moving. And the sister, she raised her hand, and I discerned she wanted to shout, but it seemed like the devil's trying to keep her from it. I looked at her and I said, "Sister, shout if you want to shout. It ain't none of the devil's business." And she turned loose, and man, she turned loose. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of people that the devil keep you sitting still. He'll hinder you if you let him. But the Bible lets you know you don't have to do that. He said, "Quench not the spirit." You see, turn the spirit loose. Let God work. He wants to bless you. He will bless you. He saved you, and you're free. And if somebody don't like you shouting, that's their problem. It ain't yours. You're enjoying what you feel in your soul. Amen. Thank God for God's goodness and what he is to our soul. Well, Paul was a man in bondage, and he said he was alive once without the commandments. And he said the commandments came in the 7th chapter of Romans. And he said when they came, he said he died. Why? Because it showed him what bondage was, showed him what sin was. And Paul realized that he'd been serving self and not God. And so whenever the word shows you and me that we can be free, we can live beyond ourselves, we don't have to die without God, we can have peace with God. God's helped many a person turn loose, get out of bondage. Look at David of old in the 40th chapter of Psalms. He was in the miry clay, but God reached down and pulled him up and set his feet on the rock, established his going, and didn't only do that, but the Bible said he put a song in his heart and he began to sing. That's what you want to do whenever the Lord saves you. You want to sing and rejoice in the good things of God because you're a free person in the Lord. How good it is. How good it is. Oh, how good it is. We're free. Free, free, free in God's goodness and in his blessing. Let the devil know then that you no longer have to yield to him. He said in the 13th verse of the 6th chapter, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments unrighteousness, of I believe I said that wrong. Unrighteousness. Unto sin. Unto sin. But yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now we should feel good that being dead and being made alive, that's as much different as daylight and dark. What do you mean? When you're dead, you're spiritually blind, spiritually deaf, and in darkness. But when Jesus came in, you got life, and he turned the lights of heaven on your soul, and you begin to see where you hadn't seen, and you begin to hear where you hadn't heard, and you felt lifted up. Well, yes, you did. And carefulness took a hold of you. You was careful what you said. You was careful what you was thinking. And you was careful about your action. Why? Because life came in. And you didn't want to bruise what the Lord had done for you. That's the difference when God moves in and sets you free from sin and from death and puts life in your soul. And if you're here today, you're in captivity, you're in bondage, you don't have to stay there. You're a free more agent. You can come home to God. He'll give you a good spiritual home. He'll put you in a good family. You'll never be sorry that you made that move. You'll always cherish that moment that you throwed up your hands and said, Lord, count me in. When you pillow your head at night, you can say, if I never open my eyes, I know where I'm going. That's all right with my soul. You're free from bondage. That's what God will do for you. Shall we stand and shall we sing?